Chapter 32. A whistle from Ketch prompted Gavin to check his secondary monitor. The shuttle Impervious was moving forward into the battle over the ground army. While the shuttle had powerful shields and weapons, it was much safer and more effective hanging back with the other ships pouring fire into the ground troopers. Gavin keyed his comm unit. Impervious, this is Rogue Lead. What are you doing? Senator Akla's voice came back through the comm channel, all serene. Master Skywalker has a task for us, Colonel. Here he is. Gavin, I need two of you to make a run on the large lead vehicle down there. I need four torps, all coming in at the same flank. We'll give you the telemetry. The Jedi's voice betrayed a hint of excitement. Can you do it? As ordered, Jedi One. Gavin punched a button, bringing his squadron's tactical frequency into the channel. Styx, on me. A Jedi wants us to shoot a spread at the big lead vehicle out there. I copy, lead. Coming in your vector now. Capture the telemetry data from Impervious and use it to shoot. As ordered, lead. Jaina's voice rose a bit. Going to drill a range. Gavin smiled to himself. You and me both, Styx. 2 and 12. Keep the last skips off us. Double clicks from comm units confirmed that their wingmen had heard the order and would comply with it. Gavin kicked his X-Wing up onto the port S-foils, then dove and leveled out 100 meters over the battlefield. Lines of plasma bolts stretched out toward him, but they came slowly enough that he was able to dance his fighter between them. He dropped the aiming reticle over the slow-moving vehicle, then flipped a switch that turned control of the torpedo's flight data to the Impervious. He kept his fighter pointed on target, then hit the trigger. Two proton torpedoes jetted away on azure fire, and another two came from his port. All four headed in on target. Ketch reported a gravitic anomaly, somewhat larger than most, had positioned itself to intercept the missiles. Gavin narrowed his eyes, waiting for the blast. I hope you know what you're doing, Luke. Leia stalked through the refugees, occasionally glancing up to see Danny and Lando as they wove their way through groups. Once Leia discerned the people who were actually exuding terror, she told them to move toward the perimeter of the holding area. The knot of refugees slowly shrank, and Leia could feel tension beginning to intensify in the area. Those who are left behind know we're searching for something, and they hope it isn't them. Lando had gotten a step ahead of Danny when the young woman gasped. She pointed at an older woman and a man of an age to be her adult son. Lando spun, bringing his blaster up, but the old woman's fingers sprouted claws. She raked her right hand up across Lando's chest, shredding his blue tunic and spinning him into a group of screaming refugees. As the old woman came up to her full height, the Ooglith masker stretched into a parody of what she had been. Leia brought her blaster carbine around and clipped off two shots. One missed high, but the second burned through the Yuuzhan Vong's throat. His hands clutched at the wound as he went down with black fluid and white pus flowing out between his fingers. The Yuuzhan Vong, who had masqueraded as her son, dove to the right and came up from a somersault with Lando's blaster in one hand and a small child clutched to his chest with the other arm. The Yuuzhan Vong croaked at her as he pressed the blaster pistol to the blonde little girl's head. Harm me, this dies. The malevolence in the words could not be missed, but the lack of it coming through the Force seemed incongruous to Leia. She raised her own blaster carbine and sighted in on the Yuuzhan Vong's head. You won't kill just one, so I'll take that risk. The Yuuzhan Vong took a moment to parse Leia's words, then brought the pistol around to point it at her. Before he could pull the trigger, however, the power pack slid from the weapon and slowly tumbled to the ground. The alien's taut human mask stretched oddly as the face beneath it contorted into a surprised grimace. Leia triggered a shot that passed over the child's head and incinerated a hole through the Yuuzhan Vong's forehead. The warrior pitched over backward, cushioning his hostage with his own body. It did take a moment for the child's terrified mother to pry her from the Yuuzhan Vong's arms, by which time the girl realized she was supposed to be afraid. The little girl started crying, but the cries were muffled as her mother hugged the child tightly to her. Leia's comlink buzzed. Go ahead. Mara here. I found tracks for a half dozen Yuuzhan Vong. We got two here, so there must be one more. I got him. Are you hurt? Some scratches. He just went to pieces, though. Levity lightened Mara's voice. I'll stay out here and see what else I can scare up. Leia ran over to where Danny was helping Lando sit up. The Yuuzhan Vong's claws had scratched him deeply, but Lando seemed more concerned about the state of his shirt than he was the wounds. He held his bloodied hands out in front of him, as if looking for something on which to wipe them off. He considered using his cloak for a moment, then rejected that plan. Leia waved over two volunteers. Get Lando to an aid station. I'll be fine, Leia. You'll be fine after we stop your leaking. Lando nodded toward the dead Yuuzhan Vong. Neat trick, slipping the clip like that. I knew you had that in mind when you invited him to shoot toward you instead of the kid. Not me, Lando. Danny did the trick. Leia smiled at the young scientist. That was very brave. Was it? I guess maybe. Danny shivered. Being that close to a Yuuzhan Vong again, I just didn't know what to do. What Jaina taught me, I tried to calm myself down, but it didn't work. I guess it worked, the trick. You saved my life, Danny. A small victory for us, and a small defeat for them. Leia sighed and looked out toward the south. Let's hope the others can scale our victories up so we can get out of here alive. In Impervious's cockpit, Luke pointed toward the large vehicle. Get us closer. Yes, Master Skywalker. How's the missile telemetry coming through, R2? The little droid tootled confidently, spinning his head around to look at Luke. A beep sounded from the droid, and Alagos glanced at a secondary monitor. I have 4 torpedo launches. All are hot. Good. Luke sank back into the chair and closed his eyes. He took a deep breath and reached out through the Force. He let his sense of things ride above the frayed one's jagged profile and vectored in toward the vehicle. He got no solid sense of it directly, though a few frayed ones did appear to be housed inside. Instead, he used that emptiness as a waypoint to search out a void, and as it formed, the black hole blossomed fully in the Force. The void that the vehicle's Dovin Basals created to intercept the missiles was a gravitic anomaly that had substance in the real world. Tiny threads of the Force leaked into it as insects and birds, bats and bugs were pulled into it. Luke used their vanishing life traces and the very currents in the air that the void created to define the void. He traced its edges, knew exactly where it was, and knew how powerful it was. He opened himself to the Force more fully than he had in years. He sought more power than he had when freeing his nephew. The Force flooded into him, at once molten metal hot, yet as soothing as a cool rain. It swirled through him, filling every cell of his body, freeing him from fatigue, sharpening his mind. Luke reached out with that power and latched onto the void that the Yuuzhan Vong vehicle had created. He pushed a bit, then tugged, in nanoseconds getting a feel for the power the Dovin Basals were able to exert to control the void. He almost smiled, since that amount of power was nothing compared to the Force. But he stopped himself short of pride in that fact. R2, juke the missiles. R2-D2 keened sharply and fed the proton torpedoes a new set of data. The torpedoes twisted in flight and arced toward the sky, flying up and over the void. Then they turned again and fell toward the ground, aimed at the vehicle's spine. Immediately the Dovin Basals started to shift the void to cover this new attack vector. Luke fed the Force into his hold on the void, thwarting them. Their pressure increased, and still Luke held it unmoving. The torpedoes got closer and closer. The Dovin Basals pulled harder, and when their effort reached a new peak, Luke let the void slip over toward intercepting the proton torpedoes. The Dovin Basals devoted their efforts to sliding the void into place, which required both some lateral movement and shortening the arc over which the void would travel. As they brought it close to the vehicle, Luke pushed with the Force. Since the Dovin Basals were already tugging the void back toward the vehicle, they were not prepared to have the travel accelerated. The void crashed into the vehicle, striking it in mid-spine. The long vehicle bent backward as both ends became sucked into the black hole. It flowed like thick liquid, all the sharp horns and bony plates becoming fluid as they curved up over the void's event horizon. In less than an eye blink, The vehicle had been consumed by the void, leaving a huge gap in the Yuuzhan Vong formation. Then the proton torpedoes detonated. One after another, the four missiles slammed into the ground and exploded. Their blasts scattered Yuuzhan Vong warriors and lit the night. They gouged a huge canyon across the Yuuzhan Vong line of advance, and the shock waves were such that the ground rippled even into the refugee compound. Soldiers fell on both sides of the battlefield, and ramparts collapsed. "What now, Master Skywalker?" Luke stared at the Kamasi for a moment, trying to reply, but a wave of exhaustion crested over him and eroded his ability to think. He shook his head, then slumped back in the chair. The force energy he had used to help the Yuuzhan Vong destroy themselves had drained out of him completely, leaving him limp and barely able to keep his eyes open.
"Master Skywalker?"
"Do what you think best, Senator," Luke managed to say before the world closed in on him tight and black. Anakin picked himself up off the ground and blinked away the flash of torpedo detonations that had ruined his night vision. He found his lightsaber and brought it to hand, then called out for his brother.
"Jason! Jason!"
He turned to his left as he heard a reply, then lashed at the crowd of reptoids swarming over his brother. He cut one or two away, then a ripple of force energy pulsed upward, scattering the others. Some rolled to their feet and struck wildly at him, but Anakin parried their assaults easily and replied with cuts that dropped them. Bleeding from the nose and mouth, with his left eye slowly swelling shut, Jason regained his feet. He extended his right hand, drawing his lightsaber to it, and in a second thumbed the green blade to life.
"That thing, that vehicle, must have been a war master, a command and control center. The slaves have gone mad."
All around them, the reptoids swarmed over the ramparts. Many had dropped their weapons and howled, tearing at the nearest target with their claws and teeth. They did not limit their assaults to Brilnalim's troopers, but attacked each other. It seemed less a military force than a swarm of insects pouring into the camp. The two young Jedi moved into the flow of the reptoids. Anakin slashed right and left, cutting down Yuuzhan Vong's soldiers as he went. With Jason, he angled over to the right, clearing a path to several of Brilnalim's troopers who had become trapped. With them in tow, they fought their way deeper into the refugee camp. Ahead of them, from where the refugees had gathered, blaster fire sounded. Anakin could see errant bolts flying off in all directions, which suggested to him some confusion among the volunteers defending the refugees. Above them, the impervious swooped and poured gouts of fire into the massed soldiery. Smaller blaster bolts thinned the ranks between the Jedi and the refugees. Jason and Anakin darted forward, using their lightsabers to redirect blaster bolts away from the troopers coming with them and at reptoids. They broke into the refugee compound and fended off more reptoids, but those that had gotten through had already wrought havoc. Blaster-burnt reptoid bodies lay everywhere, splashed with the blood of their victims. Children lay broken, and men and women stared sightlessly up at the bellies of the freighters beneath which they'd huddled. Moans and screams filled the area, sparked by the whine of blaster bolts or the sight of another reptoid face. Leia ran to her sons, and Anakin saw she'd been wounded.
"Mom, you're hurt."
"Not that badly. Allego says the second half of the Yuuzhan Vong host is still coming. Luke can't deal with the other vehicle. The torpedoes bought us some time, though." She pointed at the freighters. "We have to get everyone aboard and out of here as fast as we can. We have to leave Dantooine." Jason frowned. "But there wasn't enough food for a run to another system before, and we've been here for days." Anakin looked around. "Not as many mouths to feed anymore." His older brother hesitated for a moment.
"Oh, it doesn't matter, boys."
Leia clapped them on the shoulders. "Get started rounding people up. Get them to move. We've precious little time before we all die."